Today's Playbook Audio Brief is brought to you by United Health Group.
Good Monday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook Audio Briefing.
And I'm Jake Sherman. The House and Senate are back this week. It's House Leadership Election Week in the Capitol, which means we'll find out who's ascendant in Democratic and Republican leaderships and who will spend the next 2 years grumpily plotting to take back power. The top of both parties are all but set. Nancy Pelosi will lead House Democrats and Kevin McCarthy will lead House Republicans, but there are open questions. How many Dems will vote against Pelosi in the closed meeting? Will any dope raise their hand to launch a half-cocked attempt to take Pelosi out? And who will take the lower leadership slots? The two elections are truly a tale of two parties. Democrats are holding their election virtually, and Republicans are holding theirs in person. 4 hours together with many mask deniers.
Most interesting action is on the Democratic side. Pelosi still has a very firm grip on the caucus, but she is 80, and there is positioning for a post-Pelosi world. Representatives Catherine Clark, the Democrat from Massachusetts, and David Cicilline, the Democrat from Rhode Island, are vying to be assistant speaker. Clark is giving up her post as Democratic caucus vice chair. Representatives Pete Aguiar, the Democrat from California, Robin Kelly, the Democrat from Illinois, and Deb Haaland, the Democrat from New Mexico, are vying to take over the vice chair post. Democrats will also select members for the Democratic Policy and Communications Committee and the Caucus Leadership Representative, which get the winners into the leadership tent. Uncontested Democratic leadership posts will be approved on Wednesday, with the intra-party fights put off until Thursday. All elections are being held remotely. The battle for the next chair for the DCCC and who gets committee gavels will be held in December.
Here's something to think about. Pelosi's majority is going to be thin. She may have something like 223 or 224 votes. If the Biden administration plucks any Democrats from the House for the administration, Democrats would have to sweat out special elections to hold the seat. That's why it doesn't make a ton of sense to put someone like Sherry Bustos in the administration. That district could easily flip, further narrowing Pelosi's majority. The Wall Street Journal has an op-ed with this headline, "Why Democrats Nearly Lost the House."
And here's what's driving the day. President-elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will receive a briefing on the economy in Wilmington, Delaware. They will also deliver remarks on the economy. And the coronavirus continues to rage. 11 million Americans have tested positive for the coronavirus. 246,217 have died. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that COVID is resurging, and this time it's everywhere. Here's a split screen on COVID. The AP is reporting that Michigan and Washington state governors are implementing more restrictions, while the Post has looked at how Republicans say the election results validate their looser approach. And the Post has a coda to the Trump presidency, noting that what began about a lie on crowd size at Trump's inauguration is also ending on one, with White House Press Secretary Kayla McEnany tweeting about the protest march over the weekend, inflating the size by several magnitudes.
Josh Gerstein is reporting the Trump campaign has pared back its federal suit over the election results in Pennsylvania. The number of votes at stake in the federal lawsuit is now a few thousand or less. Michael Grunwald has a look at Ron Klain and his hard-knock political education. Here's what's on tap for Trump's Monday. The president will have lunch with Mike Pence at 12:30. Pence will leave a governor's video conference at 2 p.m. in the White House Situation Room on COVID-19. He'll also travel to Dover, Delaware to participate in a dignified transfer. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
For more than 20 years, United Health Group has advocated for universal coverage. More than 28 million uninsured people can be covered by expanding and strengthening Medicaid, modernizing exchanges, and enabling more choice in the individual market. United Health Group is committed to expanding access to high-quality, affordable healthcare. Learn more at uhg.com.